Thanks for choosing us. Now we'll start from Parliament because the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, has rejected and directed the return of a set of court documents served by bailiff on the Parliamentary Service, citing constitutional immunity under Article 117 of the 1992 Constitution. Well, on your screens now are extracts from this letter addressed to the Supreme Court. It's coming up on your screen shortly. We'll also get some education on it shortly and speak to a lawyer, Kweku Painstill. But that's it. The Speaker's response to the Supreme Court. The Speaker notes that the attempted service is contrary to Article 117 of the 1992 Constitution and the circular issued by Her Ladyship Justice Pamela Cranting, the Judicial Secretary, and copied to the Honourable Lady Chief Justice with reference number SCR9 entitled Enforcement of Article 117 and 118 of the Constitution, Immunity from Service of Process and Arrest, dated 12th of July 2024, addressed to all registrants of courts. I am directed by Alban Kingsford Bagbin, Speaker of Parliament, to return the attached processes which was left at the Legal Services Office of the Parliamentary Service by three bailiffs of the court on Wednesday, 16th of October 2024. Attempts were made to serve the same processes on Tuesday, 15th of October 2024. Consequently, the Speaker has directed the return of the attached processes for your necessary action. We'll speak to lawyer Painstill shortly, but I have with me Dr. Rashid Romani, is Executive Director for Africa Centre for Parliamentary Affairs. Now, this is clearly the Speaker using the law to fight the law. What's your thoughts about it?
Yes, so my thought about it is that I believe we are not going to get out of this through the use of these legal tools.
Why? Why exactly?
This is purely a political problem and it requires a political solution. I have indicated this several times that, you know, if we go this route, we are not going to get out of this anytime soon, and we don't have time. Ghana does not have time because we just have a few weeks to elections. There's a lot of government business that needs to be done. Our leaders would have to sit down and talk, and that is why that house has been created in a democratic architecture, so that our representatives can sit down and discuss the difficult issues of the day and try to find a common ground. A democracy simply means, particularly a multi-party democracy, simply means there's no one party that will always get all the things that they want. There's a need for compromise, there's a need for some negotiation, and there's a need for some give and take. If we are not careful, we are setting very, very dangerous precedents for future parliaments. This parliament has opened itself too much to external forces, especially to courts. And last thing we want is a situation where our representatives cannot do their work because at every step somebody runs to the court and says, no, stop parliament, let them stop this, they cannot do this. And that's what we are beginning to see. So the Supreme Court acts, then Speaker reacts, we don't know what's going to be next, and already there are so many disputes that are flying all over the place. Rather than talk, and we are not hearing very much about the talking, about the negotiation, about the compromise. And I just hope that some of it is happening behind the scenes. Mm. But we can't get out of this, through this legal kind of ping pong back and forth between Parliament and the courts, because separation of powers also suggests some level of interdependence. And I believe even the courts and Parliament can sit down and have some conversations. And like somebody said, sometimes some common sense has to be injected into some of these conversations. And I believe this is the time for this to happen. I've been calling for, you know, maybe the President stepping in, together with the Chief Justice and the Speaker, having a conversation. Maybe that eventually even involves the leadership of Parliament. Because at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, it's only conversation and dialogue that can take us out of this.
Now, as at the last sitting in Parliament, you were with us when we brought live coverage of the exact happenings when the Speaker adjourned the House. Francis Xavier Susu, the MP for Medina, stood up on the floor and demanded that the record should reflect that before that sitting, as at when the majority walked out, they were the minority, and the Speaker agreed to that. Now, the Speaker's played safe in his verdict that day by not addressing the substantive issues in court, but this time he is fighting back. What's your thoughts about this whole back and forth and how it will affect government business with just a few months to the elections?
Yeah, so I think that that's what I've been saying. I mean, this whole back and forth is not going to benefit anybody. And if we insist that it has to be a legal solution, then once one problem has been solved, somebody will run to the court and raise another problem. Over the years, Parliament has functioned on the basis of, you know, some compromises. Sometimes they don't even have a quorum, but they work. Because by their rule, somebody has to raise the issue before it is acted upon. And they have found a way to ensure that the business of our country goes on. But if we begin to just pick and define legal details of how things have to work, then even after this issue is resolved, we know the tight numbers. We are in an election year. A number of MPs are ministers. And as the Right Honourable Speaker said on the day he adjourned Parliament, you know, you need a certain number in order for decisions to be made in the House. Are we sure we are going to get those numbers at all times during this election period? I don't think so. And in that case, it's only compromise and negotiation that can help us, I mean, get out of or conduct the business of the country. But if people are looking at the fine legal details, and at every step somebody might raise an issue and say, look, you don't have the numbers, you don't have the quorum, and so on. And gridlock will continue until December 7th. So still, I think the earlier our elders and whoever has some gravitas and some moral authority gets involved, I think the better it is. Because, look, we are already in a very tense kind of period of our democratic journey. Anytime elections are going to happen, you know.
We seem to be losing connection to
very kind of polarized
Dr. Rashid Rahman. We lost you briefly, Doc.
Where at least we'll see.
We lost you briefly, so please just finalize on that point.
Yes. No, so I was just saying that everybody is looking up to Parliament. I mean, at a time when we are in the lead up to December 7th, which is a tense period already, you don't want any additional tension. To raise up and let the elders in this country should step in.
Doc, unfortunately, we seem to be losing you intermittently. I just wanted to get your thoughts. The former majority leader, and he actually made some comments. I'd like to get your brief thoughts on it. Osechi Emensah-Bonsu, he wants the role of the majority leader to be elevated to cabinet-level position. He believes that the absence of a cabinet role for the majority leader hampers effective collaboration between parliament and the executive branch. Do you think this is the way to go?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? I also lost you.
Oh, okay. So I was just telling you that the former majority leader, Osechi Emensah-Bonsu, he believes that the role of the majority leader should be elevated to cabinet-level position. He says that the absence of a cabinet role for the majority leader hampers effective collaboration between parliament and the executive branch. What are your thoughts on this?
I totally agree with the leader, because at the end of the day, in our country, most business that comes to parliament is from the executive. Until very recently, I mean, the tail end of the 7th parliament and now in the 8th parliament, we didn't even used to have private members' business. So 100% of everything that came to parliament before was from the executive, and now we have some private members' business, but still a huge majority of the business of the house is from the executive, and you need that bridge. That link is very important so that he or she at all times can inform parliament, and then at all times.
When you get the $5 meal deal from McDonald's, it's hard to know where to start. So I've developed the perfect system. Bite number one, the McDouble with a slice of American cheese. Next, those tender chicken McNuggets, followed by golden fries. Finally, a sip of an ice-cold Coke. Get the $5 meal deal. Choose a McDouble or McChicken with a four-piece chicken McNuggets, small fries, and a small soft drink. You can eat yours in whatever order you like. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price. Coca-Cola is a registered trademark of the Coca-Cola Company.
Times can also, inform the cabinet, which is, you know, the space from which all these business that comes to the house is generated.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Rashid Roman. He's Executive Director for Africa Center for Parliamentary Affairs. Well, moving on, the Concerned Drivers Association says it will, from November 1, increase its transport fares by some 20%. Let's speak to the leader of the group, David, for more on this. He joins us by phone. David, thank you for your time here on NewsX. Let's understand why exactly you're pushing for a 20% increment in transport fares.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me clarify here before I go to the transporting matter. It is 15%, not 20%.
It's 15%. Okay.
Yeah, 15%. The reason why we came out with this 15% is the cost of 17 vehicles, or the cost of running transport now, is very, very high. And that is the formula in which we always increase transport fares with. All the things over there are very positive. When you go to lubricant, it's 110%. We go to spare parts, it's over 200+%. You go to the stationary and printing, it's 30%. You go to the cost of the car, it's over 1,000%. And even fuel, the lowest among it is fuel, is 8%. So if you put all these things together, and if you want to go by the percentage, so I've been charging 25%, where we have thought this right, that things are not normal, and we are in the election year too. We don't want to jeopardize the situation. That's why we are coming out with 15%, starting from on the 2nd of November.
With this proposal, is it something that you have agreed upon, or it's still at the proposal level?
This is not a proposal. This is what we are going to go by on the 2nd of November. Because we are still buying all these things with high cost, and we need to recoup our money bit by bit. So we have to take it from 15%, and then we can be able to recoup our money at least a little bit.
And this will affect all forms of transportation?
It will affect all transportation, being in shared taxi, short-haul, intercity, long distance, cargo, name it, all the transport sector, it will affect.
And these are different drivers' union, you know, working together as one. Is that the case?
Yes, that is the case.
So GPRTU, they're all under your association?
You know, I will not say GPRTU is under our association.
Mm.
So far in Ghana, GPRTU is the biggest transport organization in Ghana. But always, we do consultation before we come out.
So you consulted with GPRTU?
They didn't confirm totally, but we know that they were policy because upon what we put on table, they also talk of it. And they are advising us that we should wait for a while. But if we wait for a while...
So let me understand this. You're saying that in talks with GPRTU, they are telling you to pull the brakes on this proposal. But you are defying their proposal and you're going ahead. Is that the case? Have you also engaged government, the transport ministry?
It is not at any time that we need to engage the transport ministry. Because you know something, we have been back and forth of this issue. The Minister of Trade regulates Abu Sukai and those that sell the surplus other things. But when they increase their product, they don't go to Minister of Trade. Why we transport operators or the drivers? When we are about to increase our transport fare, everybody went to the minister.
So what association exactly make up this concerned drivers association? Because if GPRTU is telling you to pull the brakes, it means their members may not be increasing the fares as your members would be doing. So let's just get a sense
My sister, GPRTU is not saying we should put the brakes.
Okay.
GPRTU is not saying we should put the brakes. GPRTU says what we are saying present, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the timing is what they are saying. And we also say, if we wait another month or a week, we will be having electricity cars more than what we are having now.
David Agbado, we're actually saying the same thing. So GPRTU is raising concerns about the timing of your proposed increment of the fares, meaning they do not agree with the implementation with the timing you are proposing, which is November 1. So we're on the same page, actually. I'm only saying that which group make up this concerned drivers association that will be going ahead with this increment?
All the groups.
Including GPRTU that told you to hold on because the timing is wrong?
You know something, this GPRTU issue with concerned drivers issue is one of it. The other time that we increased the transport fare by 20%, GPRTU says we should hold on.
Mm.
But before we start, they also start with it. So it has been normal routine thing with it. So we know that, but they will also follow it.
So clarify for me, what association make up the concerned drivers association?
We all of us are 16. When you take GPRC from it, 11 with 15.
So 15 members, you'll be going ahead with the incremental fares by 15% on the 1st of November without consulting the Transport Ministry?
Yes.
And you think it's fair for the consumers?
It's fair for all of us.
Why is it fair? Because we're having to pay more. You haven't consulted the Transport Ministry. GPRTU, the biggest mother union of all the drivers, is advising that you do not implement it because the timing is wrong. And you're saying you're going ahead to implement this?
Okay, thank you very much. You know, you buy a vehicle, your outfit. Mm-hmm. Is it not, Joy?
Yes.
You also buy a vehicle from the garages. Is that not so for your service? Right?
Indeed, please make your point.
The vehicle dealers are under Minister of Trade. When you go the other time to buy that fleet of cars for your work, and the next time, if the price is not the same, but you ask them, they go to Minister of Trade before increasing it. No. We are buying it and we are selling. We are doing buy and sell. We are also doing buy and sell. So we cannot buy the goods in a certain price and they come and give it out as tariff. No. That's why we are increasing it by 15%.
Thank you, David Aguado. He is the PRO for Concerned Drivers Association. If you have noticed that they would increase transport fares by 15% on the 1st of November without consultation to the Transport Ministry and as well with preservation from GPRTU. Well, this is your election headquarters, and presidential candidate of the opposition National Democratic Congress, John Dramani Mahama, has posed five questions, asking the presidential candidate of the governing New Patriotic Party, Dr. Mahmood Bawumia, to answer them just as he once demanded answers to 170 statements and claims from the Vice President, Kwesi Emesa-Arthur. Speaking during his tour of the Northern Region, he said the MPP flag bearer has shifted focus from his economic lectures to pursuing digitalization initiatives. This shift, according to him, indicates a neglect of pressing economic issues that need addressing. Maxwell Graff has a wrap of day one of John Dramani Mahama's tour of the Northern Region.
On the first day of his tour of the Northern Region, the NDC presidential candidate visited the Saboba, Tatale and Zabzugu constituencies. Earlier, he visited the Chiriponi constituency in the Northeast region. In the Saboba constituency, John Mahama urged factions in the Boko conflict to embrace peace. He warned there are hidden forces escalating the conflicts.
Unfortunately, any time the peace of Ghana will be disturbed, it is the MPP government that is in power. Recently, I've been hearing some things happening in Boko that appear to be threatening to disturb the peace there. I just appeal to the people of Boko area and all those who are stakeholders in what is happening there to exercise patience, exercise restraint. We know that there are some sinister hands who are trying to stoke the fires of ethnic conflict. They should not allow themselves to be provoked to violence. And so please, the people of Boko area, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, remain calm, be restrained, don't resort to conflict. NDC is coming. When we come, we will make sure there's peace in Boko and surrounding areas.
Mabu power and all what he has promised have not been done.
John Mahama promised the people a future NDC government will construct a bridge over the Oti River. He says President Akufo-Addo has failed in the fight against illegal mining, popularly known as Galamsey.
And so I promise Uchabobo that when we come, we're going to make a priority of the road network in the Saboba area. Indeed, I promised him that in the first year of an NDC government, we will begin the bridge over the river Oti so that we can connect with our territory across the river. And so when Akufo-Addo said, I should state my position on free SHS, I should state my position on Galamsey, I'm not like him. He came and said he was going to deal with Galamsey, he was going to put his presidency on the line for Galamsey, and today Galamsey is worse than it's ever been in this country.
In the Tatale constituency, John Mahama said economic mismanagement has led to the return of intermittent power supply.
And after creating such a mess, today we are in energy crisis again. There is no gas.
To a rather sad story, founder and leader of the Ghana Freedom Party, Ekuea Donkor, has passed away at Ridge Hospital in Accra. A family source says she died on Monday, October 28, at the age of 72. Renowned for her spirited presence in Ghanaian politics, Ekuea Donkor was a staunch advocate for the rights of farmers and women. Let's take you down memory lane here on Newstex.
Madame Ekuea Donkor lived the greater part of her 72 years outside of the public limelight until she emerged around 2012 during the election, seeking to become president, when she founded the Ghana Freedom Party. In 2012, she did not end up on the presidential ballot after she was disqualified by the Electoral Commission. But Madame Ekuea Donkor didn't give up. She joined hands with PPP's Papa Kwesi Ndum in a short-lived alliance. In 2016, she was back to her dream of becoming president and was disqualified again. She did not lose her sense of humor, even in such trying times for political dreams. But in 2020, Akua Donkor made it for the first time on a presidential ballot paper.
The sixth first candidate to present nomination forms to the commission was Madam Akua Donkor, and the candidate has therefore been adjudged responsive to the nomination requirements. She has therefore been cleared to contest the 2020 presidential election.
In 2024 also, she made it on the ballot paper, and until her death, was busy campaigning to be president. In the last IPAC meeting she attended, she threatened to sue former President John Dramani Mahama. When Akua Donkor was interviewed by Hits FM, she made headlines when she attempted to recite the national pledge.
Of Ghana, so help me God.
In one of her most viral videos, Akua Donkor jokingly takes on a woman who passes in front of her while she is being interviewed by journalists. As Akua Donkor journeys back to a crater, a lot of you will remember her for a lot of things, but she does not want you to forget it.
America for Akua Kasa say, "My, we are so many now. Ghana pet and Oba at the United Party. Obi who say Obi, eh, president here. No, I am Akua no. That Oba man no. And the Ghana pet and Oba at the United Party. And the Mekura no say, eh, ha. I will follow Kura and Kiyabu Mabaso. No, my team is not that well as it is. My idea. See, I try about my name, but track with us. Let's match you up with you. Yeah, why do you have to go? I got our gun and have one to swap. Over across Abasa. If you say much, I'm over sitting in Amma. Me and I'm two woman. And if you're an actual woman, and if you're a promise from, you're a woman sitting in Amma or Magana, then you're a soldier.
Madame Akua Donkor brought fun to Ghana's usually heated politics. I will continue to keep many smiling, even in death. Kwiku Asante for Joy News.
May her soul rest in perfect peace. Let's take you now to the Ashanti region. My colleague Ohim Interior is at her hometown. He joins us live with more. Ohim, what's the atmosphere like there? Well, those are live visuals coming from the hometown of the leader of the Ghana Freedom Party, Jeretia. And it's quite sad seeing those visuals. When we heard about the news, we decided to go there. My colleague Ohim Interior is there. He's been interacting with family members of the deceased. She was aged 72 when she passed on. Let's cross over to Ohim Interior now. I'm hoping I have better connection to him.
2024 will go down in history as one of the darkest days in the family's history, because they least expected the news of her demise being announced to the family. So behind me are relatives and family members of the late Madam Akua Donkor, who have gathered here a while ago. Residents of Ejiritia had been trooping in to commiserate with their family, and also to also sympathize with them. I have been speaking to the family head of the Duana family, the Openi Nanaya Opoku, who tells me they least expected to hear news of Madam Okuyadonko's death, because they were told of the fact that she has been rushed to the hospital, and within a couple of minutes, news of her death was announced to them. So let me speak to the Abusia Penny of the Duana family here at Agritia. Nana Memo Akwaba Adeba, Joy News TV. So, Mami, Misa say, Sekura na Mote, Yamami, Ekuyadonko, Niyadie, no Yare Daho, Neti say.
Oh, Madaruma, Yantin Yadie, so Yare Daho. And Yantin Yadie say, Jenukura Kotu baby. Yeti yane no be anadu nundu yeti yane se niwu anyeti ye ndi yeti yane so no me me de na ani metibu anye ndi na menyini ndi maneka nyina me de na metu o manu guse o muntwa chiri na me de ente service e ma me no ye ente ne yade ente ne hwe o ba akura ba 3 weeks mu ani ndi ente ne yade ente ne hwe ti ahoma chi no musa afre se na na de ka no nyini ana ndi afia chere de o mo kan na se isu nyina ayede e wa chiri na mam gidiye me gidi eso na ese me nko aso ntimenta na so se me fere busuani nyina busuani so bi wo ba bi ba bi ba bi ya mbo mu nyina amane ye e busuani nyina afi no mba ma akoma ako ye ni kakra ye wa ha no ye twa sia na ese ma me kola nko ne de ni wo na ye te ye no e no kure se wo wu
nti wo ka se na wo nyi ni ade nti na na wo nyi ni
se ma nti ne yade nti na na me nyiri eni se wu no e no kure no.
So this is Adriana Abusia Penny Nanaya Opoku. He tells me when news of the death of Madam Okuyadonko was announced to him yesterday, he didn't believe it. So he thought it was one of the rumors until the call came again this morning to announce the death of Madam Okuyadonko. He's been living in a state of disbelief because, according to him, he didn't hear Madam Okuyadonko's admission at the hospital. So for him to be told all of a sudden of her death is something that made him disbelieve news of Madam Okuyadonko. Mami Misa Abusia Penny say one thing ya dear a bit chat to Obaha no cancer base and outri me and send ye and Obaha Obaha be the ankasa.
Obaha no Oba de na ni politics semna or the bar so or the betchy abusia obey campi Emma Kuri. Any abusiano, na dauloma di odeba ha eno no.
Nti ebia dear pa na se mu di ho ya obi a mu ya oba kun a ye mu ya pa na se mu ahwere se manti mi anya mampani amfri mabusia mu ana.
No na ye ya no. Se ye ntimi anya wadi a kira bre bibiriba ye ntimi anya mampani no amfri abusia mu a. Ya fri ye japade ya. Eno no.
Okay, so according to Nana Yapoku, Madam Okuyadonko was in this community about 3 weeks ago. She came to the community to campaign vigorously for his electioneering campaigning activities. The family is very sad. They have been saddened by the fact that the family couldn't produce a president for this country. That has been the utmost hope of the family, that one day this particular family, the Adriana family, would produce a president for the country, and then they can also, you know, walk on the streets of Agritia bare chest out to also take some recognition for the fact that the family has produced a president for the entire country. And if mami misa se mami Okuyadonko kura no o kan ho asema chere ya abusuyi what say yankasa
eh kan ho asema chere se abusuyi yankasa e si owu mu no owu mu e maye a ye ne ne ye baako ye ne ni problem bia wa abusuyi mu ya okoba bia ye ne no akoba bia ye ne no abusuyi no teche ma ye frene so a wodi America ye dey e ba nti ye ne ni problem bia wa abusuyi mu ande owu mu no.
Na yenhwe ne madodo se na oja wo mu akiri
ne ma na o mu ye nan ene oja wo mu akiri nan o mu ye nson na mi ensa afirim ti aka nan na wo sisi ya na baako ene wo ne wo nkran ho a waka no so mi ni wa baako
so
okumase.
So according to Nana Yapoku, Madam Okuyadonko was blessed with 7 kids. 3 are of blessed memory. So there are 4 left behind. And when I visited this family house, a 65-year-old man, and the youngest is 23-year-old girl who is also in Accra with a late mom. So she was in Accra with a late mom when her sad incident occurred. Let me speak to one of the daughters here. Madam, Pachona, who to say?
Christian.
Pachona, what do you
mean? For 53 years.
Mami, you don't come, man. What to say?
Me tosu me, no.
Oyo bata yi mami misa se ebere twa to ohu ma me kura nko mo be na ni di
me ni di nko mo se me hia ska bi di me ba akọ nursing nko mo na me ni di ba 3 weeks ni ko ma me ni di no.
So this is the second child of Madam Akua Donko. She is 53 years old, and she tells me the last time she had a conversation with the mom was 3 weeks ago when she came around, and she actually beckoned on her to support her to see her daughter's education at the nursing training school. And now, what do you say, Oma Amir Frimu? Say now, what do you say me?
Me dear, me kasa nyano kure. When you're letting your share, then a woo into my beffy. I'm a shell on my share, my beffia, my baby's aya is nay no cray.
I didn't know you in the say you no cray.
Sammy, mammy, yale. Me, mammy, yale. A sit down woo. Nippa yale and woo. When you're letting a woo. No, Sammy, mammy, yale. May fro car quack or shrimp. When you're let into new woman, I am a mamma cacra.
So this is the daughter. She tells me she also lived in a state of disbelief when news of the sudden death of her mom was reported to her. So she didn't believe it until this morning when the call also came again to confirm the death of her mom. So that the is in a state of disbelief. They still don't believe that the late Madam Akua Donko, who aspired to be president of Ghana, is no more and can never be counted among the living. But let me find out from Abusia Penny in the funeral arrangements how it will go at this moment. Nana Mami, Mr. Say, you didn't talk to you,
Wadaruma, Akakra no Munina, don't be dura, and I'm to Tibi or Hobiano, even Maswati.
So the Adrian Abusi Apani tells me it is too early to be talking about the funeral arrangements because news has already been sent, information has been sent to other members of the family to converge. And as and when the family members converge entirely, that is where they can decide on the funeral arrangements. So for now, these are few members of the community, few members of the family, the Adriana family, supported by members of the Adretia community who are commiserating with the family here at the Adretia family house of the late Madam Akua Donko. Let me also inform our viewers that this particular door is the entrance to Madam Akua Donko's room. I remember those days when we used to come to this community to speak to her as assembly member, and when she first announced her bid to become Ghana's president, we will come, and then this is where she will host us and then also speak to us. Citing this particular door brings fond memories of the late Madam Akua Donko, and it's a very sad one. So the family believes the late Madam Akua Donko is a Yasantua of Adretia who has fought a good fight, and he has also lifted the good name of Adretia. So everywhere Adretia is mentioned, Madam Akua Donko's name will always be attached to Adretia.
Minteria, join us live from the hometown of Akua Donko, leader of Freedom, Ghana Freedom Party. She has passed on at age 72. Now, away from that, in a competition dominated by intense rivalries and nail-biting moments, Perpetual Sefako has captured the spotlight, not just as the only girl standing in the National Science and Maths quiz, but as a powerhouse for Keita Senior High Technical School, Ketasco. She is not only aiming to make history as the first female finalist from her school, but also to help Ketasco clinch the first ever NSMQ trophy. Well, in a tall order, Perpetual is determined, drawing inspiration from NSMQ legend Francisca Lamini and pushing to leave her mark on this year's showdown.
Another girl, Abba. This one, she's beyond Lamini. She's called Gakpeto.
The crowd can't help but cheer for Ketasco's fierce contestant, Gakpeto Perpetual Sefako, who has been a standout since the quarterfinals, where she helped eliminate two-time champions at Shimota School in a thrilling performance. Now, as the only female finalist, she's not just competing, she's breaking ground, and her resolve is inspiring. In a candid conversation, Perpetual shared that she draws strength from her mentors and also from Francisca Lamini, the first female to make it to the finale for Ketasco.
Draw inspiration from her and keep myself going. Draw inspiration from my teachers and keep pushing. But it's not pressure. You are being given the resources, the procedures to follow. Then you get it done. So that's just it.
Have you spoken to Francisca?
Yes, I have.
And she's giving you some tidbits and all that.
Just normal things.
With her focus and calm demeanor, Perpetual has turned what could be seen as pressure into pure determination, as she's built a strong bond with her male teammates, and together they're driven by one goal: making history.
When you stay with boys for so long, like when you stay with a group of people for so long, it becomes something like mutual induction. So you become a boy.
You feel like you are becoming like a boy now?
Not becoming like a boy. You just become one of them. So you blend in.
Yeah.
So it's not a gender something.
Sure.
We're all just science students. Our journey has been life changing. We want to be known for being the first people to bring the trophy to our school.
The grand finale fast approaching, Gakpeto is all set to prove that Ketasco is not just a contender, but a school of champions. The only girl standing is ready to take her final bow, hoping it will be on the winner's podium. For Joy News, I'm Jacqueline Asma Yobor.
You're still watching News X. We'll be back with business news. Please stay tuned in.